to the Web Sphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is Troubleshooting Web Sphere Transformation Extender, Launcher Startup, and Triggering Issues. Today's presenter is Timothy Rabbit. Tim is an advisory software engineer with the Web Sphere Transformation Extender Level 2 Remote Support Team. At this point in time, I would like to pass the presentation over to Tim.
Thank you, Joseph. As Joseph introduced myself, I am Tim Rabbit with the WTX Remote Support Team, and I would just like to say good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to everybody on the phone, depending on where you are in the country, in the world. Joseph, we could move on to slide 2, please. The agenda for today is I would like to discuss the WTX launcher, and in particular, reasons why the launcher does not start, and reasons why the WTX launcher either does not trigger events or appears to not be triggering them. Slide 3, please. We'll start with why the launcher is not starting. As an overview, there's several things you can do when the launcher does not start. There is a launcher log file that we'll go over. You can search APARs, tech notes, in our Information Center documentation. And if those are not helpful, I'll tell you how to configure WTX to capture additional diagnostics information. And then I'll go over some common launcher startup issues. If we can move to slide 4, please. In WTX, there is a what we refer to a launcher log file. It's named launcher log with a date timestamp ending in .log. This is located in your logs subdirectory of your WTX installation. You can look at this file, and one thing you want to look for in this file is command line for starting the system. When you see this, that is the actual command the launcher executes to start itself. And in a good status, you want to see, as the slide shows, the current status of the system is 4. If you see something other than that, your launcher has not started properly. So you'll want to review this file for any particular startup messages that could be in there. The bottom set of bullets show possible errors that may occur. I've used these two as an example. There are others that could occur. If you pay attention to the first one with this stopped with result 255, I'll be coming back to that. But if you do notice, there's no spaces in that particular command line, and I'll refer to that in a few moments. Another message is referring to a particular MSL not being found. We can move on to slide 5, please. I mentioned earlier that searching APARs, tech notes, and our Information Center can be very helpful. Here I've provided a link to our support site. And as I mentioned a few minutes ago, there was a startup message referring to a certain MSL that produced a 255 error. That particular error, if you were to search for that string where there was no spaces in the string, you will eventually encounter this particular APAR PK83432. And I'm just highlighting this here to show that there is good information out on our website. If you do encounter issues, you very well may see an exact match to an issue you are observing. So this can be a useful site to visit to aid in diagnostics of your issues. And again, the bottom link is a link to our Information Center, release notes, and other material that contains valuable information. Slide 6, please. Okay, so if you've gone through our APARs, gone through release notes, and you still are not able to identify why your launcher is not starting, what you're going to want to do is work with what we refer to as the WTX configuration or this initialization file. That, by default, is the DTX.ini file located in the config directory on Unix or in Windows in the WTX installation directory. What you want to do is verify the contents of this file and make sure the launcher is properly enabled to use it. And depending on what happens, you're going to configure some additional logging features within that file. And I'll go into that in the next few slides. Can we move on to slide 7, please? Verifying the WTX configuration file. As I mentioned before, it's named DTX.ini by default. In the launcher administration utility that is provided with the product, as you can see on this screen, in the middle there's a configuration section and an initialization file. You want to make sure that the launcher administration utility is referring to the file that you know you want to be using. If these files do not match what you think you're using, you can correct it. And you correct this in Windows and through Unix by using the utilities mentioned on this page. Slide 8, please. So when you have to edit this configuration file, either through your own knowledge or at the direction of the support team, there are some key lines that you can have to edit. The first one is you will see in this file a line called launcher log equals EWFC. By default, this line is commented out. To uncomment it, remove the semicolon, and for that change to take effect, the launcher must be stopped and restarted. This will cause what we call to refer to as a compound system text file, and it's named compound system with a date timestamp .txt for a single process launcher, or in a separate launcher install, it'll be the system name .datetime.txt. And this may initially provide some initial diagnostics information for us or yourself to diagnose what is happening. Can we move on to slide 9, please? Additional logging that you may be requested to turn on is what we refer, will generate a launcher, compound system launcher log file. In this file is three sections. There's a launcher logging category, a resource manager, and a connection manager logging section. And each section has three trace features. We typically ask that you turn on all six trace features. The default value is 0, which means no trace. The value we would ask you to do is a value of 1, and that will start capturing additional logging after the launcher is restarted. Because it's a launcher startup issue at this point, you have to do this manually. You cannot do this online through the management console. Moving on to slide 9. By enabling this feature, you will now get a compound system .datetimestamp.log file for a single process launcher or the system name datetimestamp.log for separate launcher processes. What I've provided at the bottom of this slide is examples of three log files that WTX generates that can hold valuable information: the compound system text file, the compound system log, and the launcher log. The combination of those three files will hopefully allow you and or support to resolve any startup or triggering issues in the long run. Enabling these files it will have a minimal impact to your environment, so there is no real harm in enabling them. Can we move on to slide 11, please? Once you've restarted your launcher and you've configured the INI file to start logging, you will get a compound system text file. Here's an example of what a piece of the compound system text file will look at after a watch section is defined. You will see this actual documentation in there with all the equal signs and startup. A good startup, you'll see the word successful. A failed startup, you will see failure. And what we'll start going into next, if we proceed to slide 12, is some of the common startup errors. Through time, we've found out that the categories fall primarily under four startup issues. One of them is a mismatch in card count, and I'll be going into these in more details. And you will actually see a similar error as shown here in the compound system log file. Another common error is map not found. And there can be typically two variations of it, as listed here on slide 12. If we could proceed to slide 13, please. Another common error is a component error. Again, you will see this error in the compound system TXT file, informing you to actually go and turn on some additional logging, which I had mentioned earlier. A fourth error is kind of ambiguous, and it can be a variety of things. It's a generic message, unknown error, maybe memory, and you will need to get WTX support involved at that point in time. Moving on to slide 14. Okay, the first common startup error I mentioned was a mismatch in card count. What you need to do is, in this case, if you see that, review the compound system text file and look at the input and output for the compiled map to ensure the number of input and output cards match. If you look at the compound system text file for a particular map, you're going to see a section that lists that map name and then input and output cards. And as an example here, I'm showing a map that we're running. It has two input cards and three output cards. If we proceed on to card slide 15, here what I'm doing is looking at the compiled map settings. This is from the actual map, not from the integration flow designer. And if you look here, you're going to see that I have two input cards and two output cards. That third output card that I had mentioned in the previous slide is not there. Instances like this is what causes a mismatch in card count. The compound system text file via the MSD thinks you have three output cards, but the actual compiled map has two. So this was how to check it on the unit on the Windows side. Let's move on to slide 16, and we'll see how to verify this in a Unix environment. In the Unix environment, if you have the launcher installed, you also have the command server. And there is a command server option, the minus L option, that will verify the number of input and output cards you have defined. So if you type DSTX space the map name space minus capital L, it will tell you what your input and output cards are defined as shown on this screen. And as an example here, again, we see two inputs, two outputs. That third output card is missing. So this is what's causing the mismatch between what is physically on a server and what the MSD has defined in it. So if we move on to slide 17, what you need to do then is you need to determine whether it's the MSD/MSL that has the correct configuration or if it's the compiled map that is incorrect. In the example we used earlier, the compound system text file showed that it had three output cards. So if the MSD or the MSL is correct, which is what the compound system TXT file is going to tell you about, you need to edit the map in the Design Studio and make sure that it now has the correct number of cards, rebuild the map, and redeploy the MSL to your runtime platform. If your compiled map was correct, that means the integration flow designer settings were not correct. So what you'll need to do is open up the MSD in the integration flow designer, and that will bring in the updated map, and it will ensure that in this case, the third output card would be present and redeploy everything and restart the launcher, and you should be fine at that point. So how can this happen? Most times it's the compiled map that was changed and it was not properly redeployed through the integration flow designer that causes a mismatch, because you can at times just copy a map to your runtime platform and accidentally forget to make the appropriate change and update the MSL through the IFD. Let's move on to slide 18. Another startup issue is map not found. In using, again, this example on page 18, you'll see you'll get a not found error. Things you need to do is to double check, is the map name listed here, in this case, launcher.mmc, is that the name you expect? If it is, when you deploy a map with the integration flow designer, an msdeploy.txt file is generated. And what you want to going to do is review that file to make sure there were no map compile errors, copy errors, or anything of that nature as that MS deploy file got created to ensure accuracy of the build and deploy. If that was not the name you expected, correct the IFD map server location settings and redeploy the system to your runtime platform. You will need to restart the launcher for that change to take effect. Moving on to slide 19. A third common error is component error on startup. We typically see this a lot with the MQ series adapter not being included in the appropriate library path. And that's LD library path for Linux and Solaris, libpath for AIX, or SH libpath for HP Unix environments. What you need to do to identify this error is review the compound system log file, not the TXT file, but the log file. And you're going to want to look for this error message, init adapters failure, RMI init triggers return minus 10. That typically means that the MQ adapter was not properly defined in your environment. So what you want to do is review your library path. And using AX as an example, you type echo $libpath. And what you want to see in that library path is a reference to where you have MQ installed and making sure it's the appropriate lib64 or lib for a 32-bit environment. Once you've corrected your library path, restart the launcher, and that error should go away. Moving on to slide 20. The last common error we see, unknown error, may be memory. As I mentioned earlier, usually requires additional investigation by support, as it is very generic. What I've listed here is some of the common startup messages related to maybe memory. We've seen socket adapter errors related to ARM init triggers 1685 error, and I've listed an APAR here that has a resolution to it. And there was a defect with the product, and it has since been fixed. There is also a ZOS launcher issue dealing with the ordering of how libraries are loaded with the ZOS launcher, and that APAR lists how to fix this as well. But as I mentioned earlier, most of these issues with unknown error will require additional help assistance from support, and that's what we'll be here for. Let's move on to slide 21. Okay, so at this point, your launcher, we've covered launcher startup issues, and what I'd like to do now is go into a discussion of the launcher has started successfully, but for one reason or another, watch it. Events are not being triggered, so it's giving the appearance that it's hanging, it was triggering before and it stopped, or something of that nature. So what I'm going to cover is watches, the resource registry, max threads, max concurrent map instances, map delay, idle settings, the MQ adapter, and pending thresholds. These are all typical events that can have an impact on your launcher triggering events. So moving on to slide 22. The first thing I'd like to cover is watches. In the compound system text file, if you review the configuration section, you're going to want to look for the items defined with a T in parentheses. These are your triggers or watches or events. So what you want to see in this case is you see input 1 is a triggered event. It's triggering off of a file in the WTX 8.3 examples general IFD launcher input employee star.txtwrite. What you want to do is if it's not triggering off of a file you thought it should be triggering, is edit the MSD with the integration flow designer and make sure you've properly set your source events, redeploy, and then restart the launcher. Moving on to slide 23. Other problems that can occur with events not triggering is with the resource registry. So you have to make sure the MRC and MRN files are properly configured and exist. if you look in the compound system log file and you see an error about unable to load resource config file, that means the can mean several things, and I'll go into that in a little bit more detail. The first thing to check is the MRC file. You want to make sure the MRC file exists. It is in the correct location. In this particular example above, the MRC file is defined in the WTX examples general IFD launcher resource to MRC file. So you need to make sure that resource to MRC file does exist in that particular directory. You want to use the launcher administration and resource registry utilities to make sure that file is properly defined and named what you believe it to be. If you have to make any changes between these two utilities, you'll have to restart the launcher for those to take effect. Moving on to slide 24, please. So you've determined that the MRC file does exist. Now you have to ask yourself about the MRN. When you use the resource registry tool, the MRC links itself to an MRN file that you define with the resource registry utility. Use that utility to make sure it is referencing the correct MRN at the MRN exists. Once you've verified that, you'll need to, again, restart the launcher. This screenshot is just an example from the resource registry utility showing the linkage of that MRC to the particular MRN. Moving on to slide 25. So you verified that both your MRC and MRN files both exist, but for some reason, the launcher is still not triggering your events. At this point, the resource registry has a logging feature. And if you set the dtx_log_res_alias to a full path name and a file name, you will get an alias file that gets produced when the launcher starts and starts executing your maps. And you can use that to double-check if settings are appropriate. Again, you will need to restart the launcher and your system for this change to take effect. If we move on to slide 26, here's an example of what this log file will generate. At the beginning, you'll see all your variables listed and what they mean. Later on in the file, as maps execute, you will actually see it resolving aliases. And this is a good way to check to make sure, one, they are properly defined and that it's resolving to what you believe it should be resolving. If you see any discrepancies, correct your MRN file, and you'll need to restart the launcher and so that the changes will get properly deployed. Moving on to slide 27. Another thing that could cause events to either not trigger or give the appearance of not triggering is max threads. And the launcher by default can have 20 instances of a particular map running at any one point in time. This is defined in the INI file. We suggest a value of 2 to 6 times the number of CPUs that the particular server has. And this count includes cores. So if you have a 2-CPU server that has 4 cores, you would want to set it 2 to 6 times that 2 times 4 of 8 cores to throttle your system appropriately. But what MaxThreads is going to do is, like I said, it's only going to say how many instances of a map you can have running. If you've got a line of events triggered up and waiting to be executed, you may be saying to yourself, hey, my maps are not executing. I've got tons and tons of instances, pending threads sitting out there. How come my map is not executing? How come these events are not disappearing off my input queues? Setting max threads higher will allow more maps to run and then allow your throughput to go, you know, events to be processed more quickly. This is a setting that has to be carefully changed because you set it too high and you could run into overall performance issues. So it will be, to a certain extent, a trial and error process. And this applies to all maps within the launcher. And for that to take effect, you again must restart the launcher. Moving on to slide 28. Max concurrent map instances. This is a setting that can apply to an individual map or event-based map within your system. It overrides the setting of max threads in the INI file. So if you want to have one particular map execute 50 threads compared to the default 20, this is how you would do it by in the integration flow designer by setting the launcher settings. So if you need more instances defined to run the map so that your events get triggered, this is how you would do it by editing this. And you must, again, restart the launcher for this change to take effect. Moving on to slide 29. When you configure the number of map instances in the compound system text file, you will see the results of that. The max instances entry in this case shows that this particular map has been defined to have a maximum of 5 threads. If you use the default, you'll see 0 there. So if a particular map is not being executed as much as you need it to be to process all the events, such that it's giving a false impression that it's not triggering, you want to make sure max instances is set to a value that is acceptable to you. Moving on to slide 30. Map delay. Sometimes you will see a trigger come in, and you're going to ask yourself, how come the map didn't trigger right away? How come it took 5 seconds? How come it took 8 seconds? Or whatever that time is for the map to actually trigger. What you want to do in a case like this is look at your map delay settings in the Integration Flow Designer. By default, it's set to 0 on the map delay setting that's highlighted on the screen. That means start the map immediately. You can set a value of between 1 and 9,999 to delay the start of the map, and this is specified in milliseconds. The example I've shown here would delay a map startup by 1 second. So if you're noticing maps are not being triggered right away, look at the setting to make sure map delay is set or not, and that could easily explain that situation. Moving on to slide 31. With map delay, one useful feature of it is if you have large input files, setting a map delay is a good thing to do. This will allow for the operating system to copy that large input file, triggered file, to its destination location before the map starts to kick in. Because if a file is too large, WTX is going to kick in immediately if map delay is not started, and that you may result in errors because the complete file is not there. In a case with large input files, the optimal solution is to first copy files to a temporary location and then have another process move them to the triggered location, the event server location. That is because the way all operating systems work is copies take a lot longer to move the files around, whereas a move is basically related to inodes and it's instantaneous. No physical disk activity occurs in situations like that. Delays start the map, delay the actual map startup time, not the execution time of a map. So you do not have to worry that if you have a map delay in place, that your map's going to take longer to execute. The map, whether you have 0 set for a map delay or 9999, the map is still going to have the same execution time, so there is no impact with regards to that. If you do change the map delay, the MSL must be redeployed and the launcher restarted. And below, on the end of the screen, I've shown an example with a map delay set and what it looks like when you view the compound system text file. Moving on to slide 32. The INI file has several idle settings, and this deals with adapter connections. As if the launcher is running, adapter connections may get disconnected, and this can result in events not triggering. What you need to do if you are using adapters such as FTP, JMS, MQ, and others similar to that, what you want to do in the actual map is enable the tracing option. This will give you some additional debug information that you can pass on to our support team to help you with the analysis of that issue. In the case of JMS, there's additional tracing you can turn on, and I've provided an example. This example is from the INI file. What you need to do is set the switch equal to on, and file equals a full path, and trace file name. But you add some launcher, starts executing, and you've got these trace files enabled. What you're going to want to do is review the appropriate trace files for connection errors. At the bottom of the slide, I've shown some common examples that we see. If you see an FTP with a timeout message closing control connection, that indicates that your session timed out, and in the long run, setting an idle value will help. Same with email. You could see something about aborted timeout or socket errors. If we move on to slide 33, this is how you can resolve this issue. In the INI file, like I said, a lot of the adapters have idle settings. So the key word in here is idle, the adapter name, equals a time in seconds. And this will force WTX to establish a new connection after it has been idle for the specified number of seconds. So let's use FTP as an example. If you say idle FTP equals 30, after that particular FTP connection that is being executed by a WTX map and or the launcher, if it's idle for more than 30 seconds and then a new FTP request comes in, the launcher will force a new connection to be made. You're going to see this a lot with FTP maps. And it should always be set to a value that is less than the FTP server timeout. We've seen in the industry that most FTP servers have a timeout of 30 seconds. If your map was running and more than 300 seconds have gone by, your FTP session is going to be disconnected. And when you go to try to FTP a file in the future, you will get an error in giving you the appearance that your maps are not being triggered. So setting idle FTP is going to be valuable in situations like this. We have seen that these idle settings are very effective with idle DB for databases, idle email, idle FTP, and idle JMS. And those are the specific settings in the INI file. Again, the launcher will have to be restarted for these changes to take effect. Moving on to slide 34. MQ adapter triggering. You can set idle MQ in the INI file. But one of the key things we've also noticed about MQ and messages not being triggered is adding the dash refresh option. This will force WTX to rescan all the MQ input queue to make sure that as things have changed from the MQ side, that WTX recognizes any and all messages that are out there. When you use the refresh option, we strongly suggest that you also use the error queue option, which is minus EQN. A description of this overall process is defined in that link shown below, and the example I've shown is an example command line option within a particular card that you can use to enable the refresh and error queue notation for your launcher. Moving on to slide 35. Pending initializations. At times, the launcher just becomes so busy that you're going to ask yourself, why is it not triggering? And what does pending initializations do? There's two settings, init pending high and init pending low. Init pending high works in that the launcher will trigger all the maps for a watch until it reaches a watch max thread setting or max concurrent settings that are in the IFD and or INI file. It will put maps into a pending state so that they can be executed. If the number of pending maps exceeds that init pending high variable that you've set, which is in the INI file, the listener will be paused. And if the listener goes into a pause state, this will give you the impression that events are not being triggered. It's not the actual impression, but it is literally what has happened. Events won't get triggered, so you're going to be curious as to why things aren't being triggered. Not until init pendings reaches the init pending low value you define will the listener start kicking in and start processing events again. How to set this file? You do it in the INI file with the init pending high and init pending low settings, or you can actually do it on a IFD from the IFD per event-based map with the pending instance thresholds high and low. Moving on to slide 36. What are some recommendations for pending initializations? We suggest that you set the low threshold to be somewhere between 1/2 to 1/3 of the high threshold, and a suggested threshold value is somewhere between 2,000 to 5,000. Depending on the complexity of your systems and your processor speed and network speed, memory, everything else that is going on that particular server, it is going to require some testing to determine an optimal configuration and performance. Moving on to slide 37. So you've gone through the launcher startup issues, you've gone through some triggering debugging on your own, and you're still encountering an issue, and you have not resolved it. At that point, we would ask that you please open a PMR, and we will assist you. To submit PMRs, you can go to this particular URL I've mentioned, and you can open it up online. For submitting information to us, there's a WTX Must Gather. It contains pertinent information as to what is useful to the support team to get an issue moving and not having to minimize back and forth saying, please give us this, please give us that. For launcher startup issues on both Windows and Unix, key things that we're going to ask for is DTX ver information, launcher log, the compound system text, and associated project files that we can use to recreate the issue if we need to in our labs. For launcher triggering issues on Windows, again, DTX ver information, the launcher log, the compound system text file, and in addition, the compound system log file. And again, that was enabled by turning on the logging options in the INI file that I mentioned earlier, along with the project files that we can use to create the issue. Moving on to slide 38. For launcher triggering issues, again, we're going to need the same sets of files that we did for Windows. But in the Unix environment, we also offer what we refer to as the UI script. The URL here lists how to use it and also tells you how to download it. If you're encountering triggering issues, that is a good instance of a hang example or what appears to be a hang issue with the launcher. And in that UI documentation that we provide, there is an example on how to run the UI script with the hang feature. We ask that you run the UI script 3 times, approximately 5 minutes apart. And the syntax of that is UI, space launcher, and the process ID of that particular launcher. To run this process properly and gather the full set of information, you're also going to need to have the GDB or DBX debugger installed on your Unix workstation. And then you submit the associated files that we've asked for to support. Moving on to slide 39. So in summary, if you are encountering startup or triggering issues, what we ask you to do is review the launcher log for any outstanding messages that are obvious. Review the launcher administration utility for proper configuration. If you need to enable logging, do so in the INI file. Review the INI file for proper settings. Review the IFD. Review resource registry settings. And also our support pages. As I've mentioned, a lot of issues have been uncovered. We've written tech notes on how-tos, so there can be some valuable information that can assist you with problem resolution. So at this point, that concludes my presentation, and I would like to turn it back to Joseph.
Thank you, Tim, for a great presentation. At this point in time, Jackie, we would like to open the lines for questions.
We have a question from Sri Gunturi. Your line is open.
Hey, Tim. This is Sri from GE. We have a question. We started using this launcher and server by configuring a MQ adapter. We listen on some MQ and the transactions get triggered. It has an event trigger. But sometimes the launcher moves into a pause state automatically. We receive a less number of transactions there. Is there any setting which we can use to make it keep alive all the time? By the way, we already used that refresh option, what you have showed earlier. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. If the launcher is going into a pause state, and you actually see the pause state in the compound system log file,
yep,
or in the management console where you did not do that.
Okay? No. No.
Most likely what is happening is port scanning software has kicked in and sent a command that the launcher has interpreted as a pause. This has been fixed with our newest release of our software, 8.4, so
okay,
that this won't happen anymore. And you can, if you request from us a port scanning fix for the launcher, we can get you a fix for other versions as well. I did not cover this in the presentation because it's not necessarily a triggering issue or startup issue, because the launcher actually goes into a pause state. But that is something we have seen, and it's something we're aware of and we have resolved. That is most likely the cause.
Oh, okay, because earlier we opened a PMR to talk about this refresh option because we faced that issue. At that point of time, we were told that they want to see when it happens, but it just happens anytime as we don't control that. We don't actually use the management console to stop it or start it. It's we have scheduled scripts. Like, we use the launcher admin to configure everything and launcher.sh on the Unix system to start it and stop it. We have the automated scripts which do it, which we recycle it every day.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Check. What you want to do is check with your sysadmins to want, you know, one option is see if they can disable the software on that server.
Okay.
A second option is, can they disable the software from scanning the WTX ports that are defined in the launcher administration utility? And if those two options are not feasible, contact us and we can get you a fix.
Sure. So we can open a PMR if at all we can't do the steps with the sysadmins, and you will give us a shared library to fix that in the 8.3, right?
Yes, it will be some library fixes as well as some configuration changes you need to make to your environment, and we would instruct you on what to do.
Oh, okay, sure. And also, we were using earlier the launcher agent. I'm not sure whether I can ask this question over here.
The launcher agent is related, but it really is a separate topic. If you want, you can use the email address that is in the presentation on the first slide. And depending on what the question is, I'll do my best to answer it. If it wants a PMR, I'll just ask you to please open a PMR.
Sure. Okay, thanks. I think that covers pretty much our doubts. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And we have no further questions on the phone.
Thank you, Jackie.
You just asked a question about memory consumption. Basically, to monitor memory consumption, you can constantly run the ps-ef command and grep it to launcher. That is one way to monitor the usage. We also have a script we could always provide you with that automates that process for you, and that way you wouldn't have to constantly type it. It would do it for you. The thing with Unix in the launcher is as it continues to use memory, it's not going to release memory back. So what you would see is the memory go up and hopefully hold steady. If it continues to increase, then you've got an issue that you would need to report to us that we can help. Jim just asked a follow-up question about that if the memory does continue to grow, how can we figure out what is causing its growth? I would say open up a PMR, and then what we would do is attempt to recreate the issue in our labs so that we can diagnose it further. If we can't diagnose it in our lab, we'll probably get you some debug code to help us analyze it from that perspective.
Thank you, Tim. Okay, looks like we don't have any other questions to the group chat at this time. So at this point, we will conclude the presentation.